Church as a college student. And back then I had just a dream. A dream of going back to my country of Brazil and establishing Bible-believing churches. For some reason, Pastor Leslie believed in me, and this church followed his leadership and took me on for support. I am back 25 years later to tell you that the dream has come true, but only by the grace of God. There's nothing, but nothing special about myself, except that I am saved and washed by the blood of Jesus. And whatever He has allowed in our lives is only by His grace, only by His kindness, and only by His love. But Pastor Leslie has been in Brazil a few times, and he witnessed some of the marvelous work of God in our midst. Then, this church was fortunate to receive a new pastor. I like to call him, I never called him like that in front of him, but I have called him by that in front of other people. He is the Gene Leslie Jr. And I think this is an honor because I have been called Jimmy Rose Jr. Jimmy Rose is my pastor, my hero as well. And then Pastor Jody has been such a blessing. He and Pastor Leslie, they have been so kind and so friendly towards our ministry. I do not understand the reason, but I'm so grateful for this friendship and for the way that we are treated by him and by all of you. Thank you so much for allowing us to be one of your missionaries. I told the Lord this morning that once here, my purpose was to show gratitude. I'm here tonight to show gratitude. I'm not here to ask anything. That's unusual. Missionaries coming by without asking anything. But I'm not here to ask anything. I'm here to show gratitude because my heart is filled with gratitude. So what I want to do before I start, this is going to be very unusual. I'm not preaching a normal sermon. I know Pastor Jody is doing that all the time, and he's feeding you very well, Pastor Leslie and other preachers. But I do want to speak from the Word of God, but I want to show gratitude towards God and towards you who have made our ministry possible in Brazil. Can we do that? Go to the book of Acts, chapter 1, and we are going to read a well-known verse, number 8. The Bible says, Jesus himself said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." I just want to call your attention to two words from this Great Commission of Jesus. The word power and the word both. First of all, the word power. That's the word dynamite. And what happens to a dynamite when it explodes? It causes a lot of transformation. It causes a great impact around the place and the people that are close by it. The same is true about all of us. Once God has given us His power, it doesn't matter if we are in Brazil or if we are in the States, if we are in Goiânia, Brazil, or in Great Tennessee, USA, if we have the power of God, things will never be the same. Something special is going to happen. And now that I have been in the ministry for 25 years, I have understood to see or how to see miracles. Before, I tried to see miracles in the present, and I tried to see miracles in the future. But I have come to the conclusion that you cannot see miracles in the present. The present is always hard. The present is always difficult. This last church I'm establishing has been the most difficult ministry that I have faced. The devil is really attacking us, trying to cause a lot of harm. This has been the hardest missionary term of our ministry. No doubt about it. But when I look at the present, I don't see a miracle. When I look to the future, I don't see miracles. But every time I look back, I see hundreds of miracles. Every time I look back, people ask me this question. How could you have done? How could you have established 5 Bible-believing churches in only 25 years? Actually, 23 years. How could you have established Bible institutes, seminaries, a Christian school? And the answer, very honestly speaking, is just this. I don't know. I don't know because it was not us, it was God. I cannot explain how we established the first, the second, the third, and the fourth church, and even how we are establishing the fifth church of our ministry. I do not know. I know this. It has nothing to do with us. And I believe the same is true about your life. You don't see miracles today. You don't see miracles tomorrow. But if you look back, what God has done for you and through you, you will see God's power and God's hands in your life. You see how kind and how good He has been to you. But we need to look back. We are not supposed to abide on the victories, much less on the defeats of the past. But we must always recall the blessings. And because we recall the blessings, we can become more grateful towards God and towards men, towards people that God used to bless us. I remember when I came here, behind this pulpit, I was just a college student, and I told you that God had called me to go back to Brazil to establish Bible-believing churches. We went back to Brazil, and then we began our church inside a precarious shed in our backyard because we didn't have money to build or to rent, so we had to be in a shed. The shed was tight, small, the ceiling was very low, but that's what God had given us. And I named the shed Maranatha Baptist Temple. I put a big sign in front of the shed. And then I told my wife, the shed is ugly, the shed is precarious, but when people start coming to the shed, they're going to find quality inside this place. So my wife, she would practice playing the piano during the week as if she were going to play for a recital. And I would prepare my sermons and studies as if I were going to preach at the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We tried to have quality inside the shed. Pastor Leslie, he saw the shed. I don't know if I ever showed the shed to Pastor Jody. Tori Leslie, he went to the shed a few times. And believe it or not, in less than a year, we had 70 people inside the shed. And some people came to the shed just because of the sound of the piano. And back in those days, I was the song leader. I had to do the preaching, the invitation, and the witnessing. Because I was the only one. And my wife, she would play the piano, and then she would take the kids inside our house for their own classes. But you know what? I miss those days. I used to be very skinny because the shed was a real sauna. Very hot. Goiânia is a very hot place. No air conditioning, no nothing. But I was so happy. to see those people getting saved and being edified. But you know, two neighbors, when they saw the shed and the name in front of the shed, Maranatha Baptist Temple, they stood up in front of the shed. And one neighbor said to the other, "I guarantee that the pastor of this shed is a thief. And he's here to make money and to take money out of those people." The other one answered, "And I promise you that in less than 3 months, this shed will be gone. This church will be gone. Will not exist any longer." To make a long story short, the first man who accused me of being a thief, he got saved in less than a month, and he became the first treasurer of our church. And he became the first deacon of our church. The other man, who said the church was going to die out in 3 months, he was the first ordained preacher of our ministry. And that church that was begun in a shed is today considered, by the grace of God, one of the largest independent Baptist church of Brazil. Pastor Gene Leslie saw more than 55 souls receiving Christ in 3 days. A few times he went to Brazil. Pastor Jody saw souls being saved through that same ministry. It is a wonderful church, folks, that was born in a shed. I told my wife in the shed, "You and I are a church already. And we should take 2 missionary families for support by faith, just like our sending churches are doing for us in Brazil." By faith, she and I took on 2 missionary families. And we put their names and their pictures on the wall in the shed. So when people started coming to the shed, they would learn about missions from day one. We wanted to teach them to do for others what others were doing for them. It is true that the Brazilian people might not be able to give as much as we can give, because here our money is stronger, but in percentage, then they can give as much as we give, and sometimes even more than what we give. But an older pastor came by the shed one day, and he saw the picture of those 2 missionaries on the wall in the shed. And he called me aside and he rebuked me. And by the way, I need rebuke. I need correction, especially from older pastors. I have no problem with that. Pastor Jody is not older than I am, but he can rebuke me. When he went to Brazil, I asked him, "Is there anything you can tell me? Is there anything you can recommend that I should do?" Every time Pastor Leslie goes to Brazil, I ask him the same question. But this time, the older pastor was wrong. He said, "Brother Rom, you cannot teach missions to your people as of yet. You're in a shed. You need, first of all, to buy you a property and to build a building. Then you can teach missions to your people. But until then, you need to get all the money you can to buy you a property." I said, "Pastor, I'm sorry, but I do not agree with that. Because my Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things shall be added unto you." How many of you believe in God's promise? And I said, "I must seek first the kingdom of God. I must fulfill the great commission of Jesus. And He will provide a property. And He will provide a building." I said, "Pastor, building can wait a little longer. But souls for the Lord Jesus Christ cannot wait one more second." So we taught that church to do for others what others were doing for them from the beginning. And then we did the same for all the other churches we have established. We believe in missions, not because I'm a missionary, but I believe in missions for 2 more special reasons than that. First of all, because I am the result of missions. I am here tonight as the result of missions. I'm not here necessarily as a missionary, but as the result of missions. Before I was even born, Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, pastored by Dr. Harold Seitler, sent my pastor, missionary Jimmy Rose, to the country of Brazil. I was not even born, but I was already a part of God's plan for that missionary's ministry. When I was 12 years of age, someone gave a gospel tract to my father inside an elevator. Out of curiosity, my father decided to visit the church. The address was on the back of the card. He went to that church, understood nothing of the sermon, but he left his address behind. In less than a week, the missionary that was establishing that church went to visit my father. And what a surprise! It was not the address of a house, but it was the address of a bar. My father had a bar. And the missionary, with his Bible underneath his arm, entered the bar, not to drink, but to share the word of God. And in that bar, he saw a 12-year-old boy behind the counter serving liquor to the customers. When my father was not watching me, I was mixing strong drink with my Coke. And I was dreaming about the day that I could become just like one of my father's customers. They were my hero. They were my role models back then. But the missionary said to my father, "Mr. Ribeiro, if you want to serve God and save your little boy from an anguishing future, sell this bar and come to church with us." In less than a month, the bar had been sold. My father went to church, took me with him, and in that church, I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And today, I like to tell people, my father does not have a son who is a drunk, but he has a son who is a preacher of the Word of God. And this was only possible because of missions, because of a missionary. That's why I'm so grateful for missions. And I need to do for others what others have done for me. As soon as I got saved, I also got called to the ministry. Isn't that a blessing? I was a new convert when I understood that I was the result of missions. My pastor was preaching on missions, and he mentioned the name of several missionary heroes of the faith. David Livingstone, whose heart was buried in Africa, and his body was sent back to England because the natives, they said, his heart belongs to us. John Knox prayed, "God give me Scotland or I shall die." William Carey, he tried to convince everybody around him in England to be missionary-minded, to send out missionaries to the world. But back in those days, the English Baptist churches did not believe in missions, especially international missions. Very few pastors decided to give him a hand. And when he went to India, he said to those pastors, "I'm going down, but you must stay here and hold the ropes." By the time my pastor was done with his sermon, I knew there from my seat that I was the result of missions and that my pastor was a missionary just like William Carey, just like David Livingstone. Actually, he was my David Livingstone in Brazil. When he gave the invitation, I went to the altar just to thank God for missions. I didn't go to the altar for any other purpose but to thank God for missions. And as I was thanking God, I understood he was also calling me to be a missionary from Brazil to Brazil. And I got so excited, and I told everybody around me that God had called me to be a missionary like my pastor. Because when I'm excited, everybody will notice I am excited. But some adults, they disagreed with me. And they tried to convince me that I could not be a missionary, I could not be a church planter, because establishing churches is a ministry only for the American missionaries. Because only the American missionaries have the tools. I was a new convert, I was a child, but I gave them the right answer. I said, "Look, if God is the one calling me, he will provide me with the tools. And you know what? He provided me with the tools. First of all, he allowed me to be saved under the ministry of my pastor, missionary Jimmy Rose. He taught me the Bible. He discipled me. Before I went to Bible college, I already knew my Bible. I learned my Bible with my pastor, with my Sunday school teachers. Amen. I learned my Bible with my local church. And nothing is more important than the local church. By the time I went to college, I knew my doctrines. And by the way, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Baptist not by convenience, but by conviction. So, I got saved early in life. I was trained by my pastor. I entered our Bible Institute back in Brazil. I graduated and I thought, I'm ready for the ministry. When God, in a very special way, paved the way for me to come to the States and study at Bob Jones University. But better than all of that, God gave me a wonderful wife. Without Rachel, I could not have the ministry that I have today. She is behind of every blessing the Lord has given me. She is not 50% of my ministry. She is 100% of my ministry. There is a saying that behind every successful man, there is a great woman. I'm not successful, but I do have a great wife. And God gave me two godly young girls, daughters. And God gave me you, one of my sending churches that sent me to Brazil to be a church planter. How many of you can see God's miracles? But you have to look back. And everything I'm telling you here tonight, there is no human explanation. The only explanation is the power of God. Today my pastor is 80 years old. And he's on dialysis. Tomorrow I'm going to spend the day with him. He might not stay too long with us. But I told him, and I'm going to repeat tomorrow, what you have done for us in Brazil will last for eternity. Your legacy, your faith, your testimony will last for eternity. I am missing him already. I am missing his preaching. I have some of his tapes, and I like to listen to them from time to time. But I'm missing his preaching. As soon as I finished Bob Jones and I went back to Brazil, I asked him, can I stay one more year with you before I go to the Midwest of Brazil as a missionary? And he said, yes, but why? I said, because I'm so cold being 4 years away from my home church. Yes, you heard it well. I was cold. Anybody will get cold away from his local church. And he said, yes, you are welcome. And then I stayed 1 year, helping him, working with him, but sitting underneath his preaching. By the time I went to Goiânia, I went to the Midwest, I was fired up again. I think I need to do that again. Perhaps I should come to Great Tennessee and stay here a few months, just underneath your preaching and your teaching. Because we pastors and missionaries, we have the need to be pastor too. We are sheep as well. But anyway, God has been so good to us by helping us to establish 5 Bible-believing churches. But that's only possible because the work of God is not the work of a man, but it is the work of a people. This is what missions is all about. Tonight when I came to your parking lot, I saw a closer space to the building. And I saw the word visitor. And I said, I cannot park here because I'm not a visitor. I am an extension of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in another country. Whatever we are doing in Brazil, we are doing together. And this is what missions is all about. We are doing the work of God together. Sometimes you ask yourself, what are we doing as a church for the kingdom of God? Not only here, locally, but through the lives and through the ministries of all the missionaries that you're helping to support and for whom you're praying. Eternity will reveal all the extension, all the ministries that you have accomplished through missions, through the Great Commission of Jesus. So I do feel I am an extension of this church in another part of the world. But then, Jesus promised his power, but then he gives us some direction. And I believe we can change methods. I was teasing Pastor Leslie just a few minutes ago because I said, look, this is the first time I have ever seen you in a church without a tie. What's happening? And he said, well, when you retire, you can get to do that. All right. You know, he's my example. So I might take off my tie. But you can change methods. I don't like to change methods. I'll be honest with you. I'm very conservative. But I can accept. But you cannot change vision. Especially a vision that was given by Jesus Christ. Because you cannot come up with anything better than the vision of Jesus. And the vision is this: ye shall be witnesses unto me. Both. And the word both here means at the same time. We are not supposed to wait for a better moment to send the gospel around the world. But at the same time, we are expanding the kingdom of God here at home. We are supposed to expand the kingdom of God someplace else. At the same time, I am preaching in one of the churches we have established in Brazil. I am also preaching through the sound waves of BBN International out of Charlotte. At the same time, this is a commandment. This is a vision. But the first church did not understand the vision. And they tried to stay only at home. They had all the apostles for themselves, all the miracles for themselves, all the fellowship for themselves. There was no need for them to go someplace else, except that this was Jesus' commandment. So God had to allow a persecution, a great persecution. And the church was spread all over the place. The apostles that they loved so much, the apostles that were so special, they stayed behind by themselves without a church. But the church itself was spread. And the first church planters were common people from the church. And the church was forced into obeying the Great Commission of Jesus. And they became witnesses, both at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even unto the uttermost part of the earth. And you and I are called to be witnesses. And you might be thinking, you're saying that because you're a missionary. I hope so, but I was a witness long before I became a missionary. As soon as I got saved, I was told that I should be a witness for Jesus. And then my father sold the bar. I had to find me another job. Back in those days, children were allowed to work. And I was hired by a car shop. The mechanics would fix the cars, and I would come behind them cleaning the cars before returning them to their owners. And as I was cleaning the cars, I would give my testimony and I would share my experience of salvation with the mechanics and with the customers. And one day, and I was only 12 years of age, a mechanic older than I was, of course, came to me and called me aside and said, look, are you sure that when you die, you're going to heaven? I said, yes, I am sure. How can you be sure? Because the Bible tells me so. And he asked me, and how can I be sure? And I explained to him, and we went to the back of the building. We knelt down, and he prayed accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I was a new convert, and I was a child. Some 20 years later, I met him again in a car shop. I took my car to be fixed, and there he was. And I asked him what he was doing. And he said, I am a deacon in my church with my wife and 5 more children. It means that the first soul I led to Christ became faithful in a local church. It means that if a 12-year-old boy can be a witness, everybody here can be a witness. I like to say that sheep produce sheep. We pastors take care of the sheep, but there are souls out there that only you can reach for God and nobody else. It's of no use to call your preacher or your Sunday school teacher or one of your deacons, because God wants you to be a light shining before those people. At the dentist's office, doctor's office, there in Brazil, bus station. By the way, in Brazil, a gallon of gas is costing about $7. That's terrible, isn't it? So sometimes I am making use of Uber. Do you have Uber here? Uber. And it's been a blessing because once I go into the car with a driver, he's stuck with me. I'm paying for his service. He had better listen. Amen? And I have seen 2 drivers kneeling down accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. On the way back to the States, we arrived here on the 4th of July. I was stuck in the middle. Next to me, a big guy, my wife, and next to my wife, another lady. And 9 hours, and there was nothing I could do about it. I thought, I am going to be stuck with this guy for the next 9 hours. And he was big, tall, strong, long beard, tattoos all over his body. And then I learned he was a vocalist for a very famous heavy metal band in Brazil. And they were coming to the States for various presentations. And I thought, I'm going to be stuck with him for 9 hours. But then I thought, he's going to be stuck with me for 9 hours as well. And I talked to him about Jesus. My daughters, they were in the back and they said, Daddy, we could hear you the whole time. And I said, Amen. So the whole passengers, they probably heard me. He did not make a profession of faith, but he promised he was going to repeat my story to his mother. He even agreed that if there is a Savior, Jesus is the only one that fit the profile. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both. Just recently, I received a letter from one of our sending churches. The pastor there is a new pastor. And it happens when a new pastor comes. And he sent me a letter saying, Brother Rom, we are no longer going to support you because we are going to emphasize our Jerusalem. And we are going to use all the resources we have for our Jerusalem. It is his right. And it is the right of his church. But my Bible says both. Both. My Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Everything I am and everything I have, I owe to this great country called the United States of America. No wonder that a few years ago, I gained my American citizenship. My wife is American. My daughters are Americans. I was the only one that was an exception, and I had to do something about it. Sometimes I have the impression that I love this country more than a lot of Americans do. But all that Americans need to do is to go abroad and come back more grateful. And I am so excited about my new president. And I pray for him. And I agree with him. America first. But when it comes to the gospel, I know this. One day Brazil will pass away. The USA will pass away. But heaven will never pass away. And we were called to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here to represent Him and to make sure that we take with us as many people as possible to heaven, because that's the only investment that will remain forever and the only investment we'll find after this life. Everything behind, everything else we stay behind, including our names. Even our names, we stay behind. In heaven, we are going to be given a new name. And we are leaving behind clothes, houses, cars, financial investments. Our lives, we stay behind. But souls for the Lord Jesus Christ will be the investment that will find us on the other side of eternity. I came here to say this to you. Thank you for being missionary-minded, for believing in missions, for investing in missions, for following the leadership, the example left behind by preacher Gene Leslie, and by following the leadership of preacher Jody Jenkins, who have become a great friend of ours there in the country of Brazil. Our church back in Brazil learned to love your pastor. God bless you. Thank you so much. Let's watch a very short video presentation, I promise, only 3 minutes. And then Pastor Jody will come and exclude me. I hope not, but sorry if I delayed and I took too long, Pastor.
Rob and Rachel Ribeiro have been missionaries in Brazil since 1993. Over the past 23 years, they established 5 Bible-believing, missionary-minded churches in the country of Brazil. Maranatha Baptist Temple, and Ebenezer Baptist Temple in Goiânia, Maranatha Baptist Temple of Londrina, Maranatha Baptist Temple of Aparecida, and most recently, Maranatha Baptist Temple of Ribeirão Preto. God also used them to establish Maranatha Bible Institute and Jimmy Rose Christian School. Ram's Bible teaching is on BBN Radio International 3 times a day, 7 days a week. He's also a columnist in the Jornal de Apoio, a quarterly fundamentalist Baptist newspaper in Brazil. Ram helped several Brazilian pastors organize the Antioch Project, through which they help churches begin new congregations. Their goal is to establish at least 3 fundamentalist Baptist churches every 10 years. Leaving them fully organized and self-supporting. Over the past 3 years, 2 churches have been started. The Baptist Church in Serra Azul just inaugurated its sanctuary, which was built by CWE, Christians for Worldwide Evangelism, this past June. The Ribeiros are currently working in the southeast of Brazil in the city of Ribeirão Preto. The 2-year-old church is growing through soul winning, discipleship, visitation, Bible classes, and preaching. From the very beginning, people have been taught to give through faith promise for missions. The congregation has practically outgrown the rented facility. Please pray that the Lord will provide the much needed funds to complete the construction of the church building. Please continue to pray for God's presence, power, protection, and provision as the Ribeiros continue to establish Bible-believing churches in the country of Brazil.
Pastor Jody allowed me to present this book to the church. It's called The Forgotten Principle in Child Rearing. And the author is Dan Johnson, one of my pastors when I was growing up. And Brother Dan, he has 5 children, born and raised in Brazil, and all of them are in full-time ministry today. Some of them are missionaries in Brazil. And he gave me a few copies of this book to present to the various churches I'm visiting. And whatever offering you give for the book will help us in the ministry. And I have a few copies there on the table. And also our prayer card, the newest prayer card. Thank you. God bless you.
Well, this was thrilling tonight. There's no question about it. Praise the Lord for it. Let me encourage you that if the Lord's spoken your heart tonight, to let Him know that. If there's somebody here that's never trusted Christ, you come see us before you leave. We'll be happy to point you to Jesus Christ. And may this church always be a mission-minded church. May we never lose that focus. And may we always do more and more for the Lord Jesus Christ. That was outstanding, Brother Ron. God bless you. It's good to have you and your wife with us. Always our privilege to have you here. Thank you for coming. If you were blessed with that, would you say amen? That was a blessing tonight. No question about it. I'd like for several men to come up and get these budgets here. Right.